It's Sunday, November 26, 2006. You're listening to the Acme Comics Dollar Bin. We got our usual suspects in the house. We got Flacco, Brian, hello, Adam, everyone. Chris.
Festivus.
What are we talking about, Flacco?
How was your Thanksgiving, guys?
Thanksgiving. I asked what we're talking about, man.
I want to know how your Thanksgiving. We have to do this chatty crap so that people get to know us and don't think we're just a bunch of random douchebags.
Which I played with my Wii off Thanksgiving.
That sounds dirty.
So. Not a random douchebag.
Right.
So, all right. So, Adam played with his Wii.
My whole family played with my Wii.
Oh, dude, the Wii is awesome, man.
Yeah, that's what the holidays are all about.
Well, since this is going to be on the internet and anybody can listen to it, I had a wonderful Thanksgiving with my wife's family.
Boring.
And do anything but sleep and play video games.
I hung out with a relative of mine that I hadn't seen in a long time, but now he has a mustache.
Whoa.
And that was really weird.
Is it a porn? Was it a porn mustache?
Yeah. It was weird. It was a weird mustache.
Like a Tom Selleck mustache?
No,
a Hitler
it wasn't
mustache?
That thick, or... But it was, he shouldn't be wearing a mustache, that's for sure. Some sort of like
kind of a Ron
denotation
Burgundy.
Of age or something like that.
Kind of a Ron Burgundy like, mustache, perhaps?
A little bit Burgundy-esque. Yeah, that... But no, my Thanksgiving was, it was a big fat okay. Big fat okay. I did manage to read some comics. You guys read anything?
I read almost every comic I own. And I got my comics brought down from Maryland. So I got to go through all my comics.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
Yeah, they all smell like cat piss. Has that happened to old comics, or did a cat actually piss on my comics?
I don't think
I have some old comics.
I did have a lot of Young Bloods and Bloodstrike.
Yikes.
Maybe that's why.
Maybe that's for the best.
Cat piss.
Yeah, that. Why don't you tell us about what you read, Adam?
What I did read? Yes. The first thing that I picked up and I wanted to read was John Woo's Seven Brothers, written by Garth Ennis. And I don't know if you have read it. If you haven't read it, I don't know if you read the first one. If you haven't read the first one, you read the first one?
I did.
The first one is good, and this one is awesomer. And if you haven't started reading it, I recommend reading it now before it gets too deep and you have to buy all the back issues.
Yeah, and I just want to say that I don't think that... You certainly don't have to be knowledgeable of the Virgin Comics line to be reading this comic. It seems to be like its own sort of
separate
universe.
I don't think any of their comics are made to tie in.
Is that true?
Yet,
none of them are?
I think they're all kind of like standalone stuff.
I don't know anything about any of them except
can't
for this
vouch
one.
For that, so, but I can vouch for
so how's John Woo associated? Is he writing
he's
directing?
Creator.
Or?
He created the idea.
Yeah, it was
he
like
didn't
his
want
concept.
To write it.
Okay.
He was asked to
sort
write
of doing all the actual heavy lifting.
And you can definitely tell it was an idea not of Garth Ennis, but it is written by Garth Ennis, just from the dialogue. But it's really good. It's intense. It's still kind of building, though. It's still this issue is still a building step, and it's that good where a building step issue is still really good. It's sucking me right in, and that's what a comic's supposed to do.
Cool. Might have to check that out.
On Wednesday, the first thing I did was read Action Comics. It wasn't even noon before I had read that issue. And the second issue of Richard Donner's Action Comics run came out, and it was great. And if you've ever listened to any of these other podcasts, you might have heard me mention once or twice about my good buddy Zod and how awesome he is.
What the hell, man?
Back into continuity.
You haven't read it?
No.
I thought you said you were...
I definitely read it. I'm saying that's fucking awesome.
I thought you were genuinely surprised. I was like, wow,
no,
really?
I was surprised when I read
I just
it.
Blew it.
And it was awesome.
Yeah, that was supposed to be the plot for Superman 3.
Wow. Awesome, man.
Really? That's what someone told me. Someone told me that, like,
I haven't heard about that
it was sort of the loosely based plot for Superman 3 that Richard Donner wanted.
What he would
to
have
do.
Liked
well,
to have that, done yes. if he would get it.
Well, that makes
Superman.
More sense than Superman having a kid in Superman Returns.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think it'll be. I remember you saying something where you really struck about how mad Superman was in the first issue of this action run. Imagine how pissed he's going to be at Zod when he finds out that kid doesn't have anything or want anything to do with him.
He might. Maybe he does want something to do with him.
Oh, he's evil. He's an evil little bastard.
I'm just
he's
saying.
Evil. He's a kid. Maybe he doesn't know who his parents
How cool
are.
Was Bizarro, man? How like dangerous was Bizarro? Like he's always seemed like a kind
Play
of a joke
laughs.
Of a character, right? Yeah, and this you know sort of Lex Luthor sort of hiding him in a cage and unleashing him and you know and breaking children's bones, you know, and all that stuff was cool. And I also loved visually the fact that his colors were so muted. So when he was fighting Superman,
you could tell him apart.
Yeah, there was
he looked
really
dull.
Great dynamic to it, you know, that just visually looked, that Superman just looked so pristine and beautiful and royal reds and blues, you know. Yeah. And,
I got
and,
a little crush.
You like that? Adam Kubert, man. Adam Kubert's doing a great job. I mean, there's stuff with like the capes that are just like graphically awesome. I don't know. I just think those guys are.
It's a fast paced style, I think, and it fits well with the story because the story is very fast paced and
yeah,
it's awesome. Even the lettering,
the tears in that kid's eye.
You say so.
Evil? Man. Those weren't evil. couple tears.
He is a evil little bastard. Let me tell you that right now. Man.
He's confused. He's no Damien, but
it'll be an interesting subplot when his real daddy comes. Maybe he doesn't know it's his real daddy. Maybe he's lying in the weeds this whole
time. I think it's gonna be one of those, hey, I'm pretending to be good, but when I hang around with this good guy long enough, I start to feel family and feel what a real family is.
This may not have anything to do with anything, but I was wondering how Zod fits as far as like into DC continuity. I know his character has existed within the comics. It seems like this is
different ways.
It seems like this is really a sequel to Superman 2, i.e. like what happened at the end of Superman 2 is what you need to know,
not necessarily
to know
other
what's
comics.
Going where these people came from and how they're here. You know what I mean? It's like they got banished to the Phantom Zone in Superman number 2, and now they're reappearing here in...
I honestly don't know enough about regularly reading Superman continuity to make any sort of track of
Zod's
appearances.
Maybe that's for the best. Maybe that's for the best.
Yeah, maybe it is. Just stand alone and read it as it is instead of trying to think of all the different Zod experiences.
What about you, Brian?
How about Wonder Woman 3 finally coming out?
Ooh.
The artwork, I love the Dodson's artwork still. I'd probably be buying the book just for that. But I mean, I like the guy's story. I mean, I think it's coming along. I think it's coming together. I think.
Did you like Young Avengers?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's not the greatest thing I've ever read, but I thought it was a good book. I like the fact that he's kind of got everybody pissed at Diana, rightfully so, and her trying to figure out what it is she's supposed to actually be doing.
I do have an issue with having to go back and reread the one before because I forget what happened in it.
Yeah, when it came out 18 months ago.
That's the only big problem I have with that one.
Yeah, I mean, really my only problem with the new book has been it not coming out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I said before, I've never been interested in Wonder Woman in my life. And I picked up that number one and read it, and I'm interested in Wonder Woman. Not on a personal level.
Yeah, I mean, it's officially a bi-monthly book
now. You have your Wii.
So that's a little disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be nice if got it back on track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like, you know, not to trash Terry Dodson, but he sure is connected to some late-ass books, you know? Jeez Louise. Between that and
the
Black Cat.
But the thing is he's turning his stuff, he and his wife are turning their stuff in on time as the writers.
I hope so.
In both instances.
I hope you're not just assuming that. I hope we're not letting this guy off the hook because I will fuck you up, Terry Dodson. I swear to God, man. Do not cross me.
Save him quick.
Save us, Chris.
Please. Home.
Yep. Save us from ourselves.
We are way beyond that.
What did you read this week, Chris?
I read Bullet Points. I know that's old, but I just want to say I liked it. We talked about it a couple weeks ago.
I read that last week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so good. Just got to give it props a second time. But I read the Punisher War Journal number 1, tie in to Civil War.
Who didn't?
Who liked it?
I wish I didn't.
Anybody?
Yeah, that was...
Not me.
Yeah, I started reading it, got about 4 pages in, and I had to flip back to the cover to see if it was issue 1. I was like, is this really issue 1? I felt like I was missing something.
It's called a good story.
Right.
That's what you're missing.
That must be what it is. Because it was pretty bad. It was just weak. I mean, the artwork, it was like painted, but like he had some really weird facial expressions.
Yeah, and it seemed like a little lack. It seemed like there were just places where he was just like, fuck it, I'm not drawing a background here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not, like he just got lazy.
I'm too tired.
But some panels, some stuff looked really good.
Right. And I like Ariel Olivetti, man. He just did a run on, I don't read Legends of the Dark Knight, but as the series has been coming out, I've been seeing it and looking through it and stuff. That series looks pretty good. So this really seems like a bit of a step backwards or something.
Yeah, I mean, what? We got to the last 3-4 pages, and it's basically a ripoff of Civil War number 5.
Marvel's doing that with a lot of the Civil War tie-ins, is where they're basically showing you a different angle on scenes that are appearing in different comics. And
right.
Sometimes it really adds something. This didn't add anything.
Didn't add a thing, except the Punisher, this is not a spoiler, but he likes the silence between the point where he pulls the trigger on the gun and the bullet hits its target.
Can we make a Punisher that's not so hardcore that he's just silly?
The portrayal of the Punisher in the War Journal is
unnaturally
comic book fucking annoying, you know?
This
guy
doesn't
know what scary people are like.
I mean,
like,
he goes with the white glove.
If you contrast,
he's in a fucking spandex, and that's retarded.
If you contrast that Civil War issue with the Amazing Spider-Man Civil War issue that came out, I mean, you see some of the same things that you saw in Civil War 5. But if you don't read that Amazing Spider-Man issue, you miss out on Tony Stark and Spider-Man fighting after he goes through the window.
Oh, yeah.
At Stark Tower, which explains why he's so beaten up when you finally get him in the sewer. I'm really not liking the logic and continuity gaps now with Civil War's tie-ins and the actual series. It's really getting on my nerves.
Go ahead.
It's just a big disappointment all around, considering that this was, you know, my biggest concern for Punisher War Journal was that the fact that the Punisher Max title is the best Punisher book ever. So I think the idea was to give people a version of the Punisher that was more within the mainstream Marvel universe and interacted with these people. But it seems like they're fundamentally changing the character in order for him to do that. You know what I mean? They're for sort of like squid or fitting, you know.
They're just going to make
square
him
peg, you know what I mean?
They're just going to make him comic booky to fit in with everything.
Right. Even though like it seems like the most successful versions of this character are all like based in an actual terrifying man that, you know, the choices that, you know, it's not about the costume that he wears, it's about the choices that he makes. And
I mean, I think there's certain Marvel characters that they should have just left out. I mean, the Punisher doesn't belong in Civil War any more than Galactus belongs. Having which side do I choose? You know, I don't need that either.
I guess let me ask this real quick.
And yes, that's my best Galactus impersonation. I'm sorry.
is this what you sorrowfully expected from this comic, though?
Yeah, I didn't know what to expect. I guess I didn't really expect it to be all that great.
I think it's what I expected it to be.
I'll tell you what, I'm a little bit worried about the new Iron Man, our Iron Fist comic being in the hands of Matt Fraction, considering that his job on the first issue of Punisher War Journal is pretty underwhelming, and it's, you know, I know Ed Brubaker's helping him write the Iron Fist miniseries, but I'm really psyched about it, and I hope Matt Fraction's got one in him better than this one.
Does that come out in December?
Yeah, it should be soon. Yeah, okay. First issue should be.
There's
soon.
Another comic that I expected to be pretty awful, and I went in.
It disappointed
with,
you in the wrong way.
I went in with Star Wars Episode 1 and 2 syndrome, and instead of getting an Episode 3, I think I got a Return of the Jedi. So, I don't think it was awful, but
there was Ewoks in that Wolverine comic. Ewoks.
And what I'm talking about, of course, is Wolverine number 48, where it shows what happens to him when he dies. And funny enough, guy can kind of draw a little bit. Apparently, he just chooses not to.
Yeah, I don't think the issue I've ever had with Umberto Ramos is that he like sucks. It's just that he's inappropriate for.
Yeah, I just don't think he fits that title. I like some of the stuff he did on Spider-Man.
I do have the only issue that I really have with this comic, and it's not necessarily this comic's fault, but if Wolverine's whole body gets destroyed, except for his adamantium skeleton. Yeah. Can he really rejuvenate that?
No, because there's no DNA in it.
Yeah, that's just
dumb. So, his bones, man.
Well, there's DNA in your bones, but...
Yeah, but you can't get to it with the adamantium. Right,
exactly. So anyway, that's the big issue. And this whole comic book deals with what happens to him when his body's destroyed. And if his body's destroyed and there's nothing there, I don't see any way to rejuvenate. That's the only real issue I have with this. It's nice, like... heartwarming comic, I guess, and he gets laid in the end. And what's the deal with
like he needs help doing that? I wonder if his right. No, we don't need to go there.
All this run on Wolverine has basically been him telling stories to women, and I don't know what the deal with that is. I don't know why he can't just be living these things. Why does he have to be telling a story to a woman? And it's like, why are you telling me this? And he's like, because I want to get some, and that's about what this is.
I've never understood why he's a sympathetic character towards women. I would think he would be the kind of guy that women go running and screaming away from.
Yep, but Jeff Loeb, run next.
Yeah, I'll actually start
after
buying
the Christmas
it then.
Episode. Christmas episode's coming up. It's a double biggie issue.
Because nothing says the Christmas holidays episode. Like Wolverine.
Wolverine. I don't think I'm picking that up. I'm gonna wait for Jeff Loeb. Hopefully that's a good run. Next,
I read the new Ultimate Spider-Man that came out this past week, and it's continuing the new Clone Saga, and it's really starting to put everything in place, and you're really starting to see what Bendis had in mind for this sort of new version of the Clone Saga, and I think it's very good. It's streamlined. It's not anywhere near as dumb as the 90s version, considering that, you know, it also had 20 titles to deal with, you know, and five different writers pulling in five different directions and stuff. Bendis has, you know, plan in mind, and he's moving forward, and, you know, it's really cool because things have been sort of laid the foundations of in the like the 30s, you know what I mean, as far as issues you know go, and seeing this
I think
stuff
it's interesting that he would tackle that subject matter considering
absolutely
how,
you
all
know?
Over the place and controversial
and,
it is
you know there's
with.
Stuff in there you know that has to do with Spider-Man's father that's like, you know, where the hell did this come from? Shit. It seems like just a lot of stuff to be putting in, but there's so much stuff going on that you're just kind of like, I gotta see what goes on next because I don't know what the hell is going on, you know.
X-Factor last week, it's a really good jumping on issue.
Definitely
for anybody that hasn't been following it. I mean, I thought it was real interesting. Basically, it shows all of the characters in therapy with Doc Samson trying to work out the team's issues individually by each of them giving a little therapy session. It's actually a great
humorous
jumping on. Yeah, I mean, it's funny,
but it's not
and it's
silly.
Serious at the same time. Right. But humorous, it's also a great jumping on point for any new readers, because you basically get a synopsis of everybody's drama in one issue, so you can go forward with the next thing. I thought that was a really cool thing to do, considering, you know, they're in the middle of the run. So I was pleasantly surprised with that X Factor this week. I mean, not surprised. I expected it to be a pretty decent comic, but for that format, I was surprised that it was good.
Bye, guys.
Should there be ratings on comics? Should children be allowed to read comics with an adult rating? What kind of rating system should we use? Is a rating system really necessary? And what does it mean? And are they different? And which ones do we follow? Do we follow our hearts, or do we follow the ink?
All those are phenomenal questions.
That's great.
And they all lead us to our topic that we're going to talk about today, which is about age appropriateness in mainstream comics. And, you know, we're going to
look at it from a couple of different angles, from retailers, publishers,
parents,
readers,
parents,
parents, yeah,
parents. People who buy comics for younger viewers, because there's a lot of different angles to this subject.
Right, yeah. If you look at comics these days, it's pretty wide open as far as the responsibilities. You know, it seems like the publishers are taking it upon themselves, but it wasn't always that way. As a matter of fact, back in the 1950s,
Comic Code Association
was formed in sort of a direct response to the book Seduction of the Innocent. And people thought that comics were essentially ruining children, so they made this thing.
And they were right.
And it was essentially a
look
response.
At me now.
I mean, it was a response to the EC Comics, you know, crime suspense stories, Tales from the Crypt, Vault of Horrors, all of which, by the way, are awesome comics that if you can get your hands on, are just some of just the best examples of like the medium ever. They're so good. They're so fantastic. And please do yourself a favor and read that stuff.
And the Comics Code lasted for a long time.
It sure did.
For comics.
And, you know, back then during those times, it put EC Comics out of business, and Marvel and DC wouldn't publish a comic or consider publishing a comic, especially under all the public scrutiny that they were getting about whether or not this stuff is appropriate for children. They went through the Comics Code. There was no more argument than that. You know, it was Comics Code approved.
Which was always still kind of fishy, because it was like a stamp of approval that it was appropriate, but not appropriate for any particular age, and not
appropriate.
Yeah, the example that I give for something of that nature is as a kid reading comics, reading the New Teen Titans by Wolfman and Perez, and that comic. I mean, I was reading that as a kid. It was Comic Code approved, but everybody was naked or half naked for half the issue. Everybody on that team was sleeping with each other. There was, you know, yeah, Deathstroke nailing a 13-year-old girl. You know, there's all sorts of stuff in there that nowadays wouldn't be viewed as appropriate for all ages.
Right, yeah.
But then it passed the Comics Code. It's kind of like R-rated movies, or it's like PG movies when I was a kid. A lot of those same movies would have nudity or language that would make it an R movie now.
Yeah,
well, I think rating system has gone past what the Comics Code.
I mean, it's
for.
Crazy, like what all was banned. For, you know, the list of things that were banned in comics in the '50s and sixties. But when the '60s came around, the whole world started to change. A lot of underground artists, like the Arkrums and whatnot, started putting out stuff and disregarded the Comics
Code.
You know, a mild way to put the stuff they were putting out. It really just a lot of these comics were, you know, successful for what they were, and people began to realize you can publish comics and continue to publish comics and, you know, make a living off of it without having to ask for the approval of anything. And, you know, in the 70s, I believe in like 1971, Stan Lee submitted a comic to the Comics Code about drug use in an issue of Amazing Spider-Man, and they refused to publish it. So Marvel published it anyway, and it was the first time that Marvel had broken free from the Comics Code Authority. And from then on, the Comics Code Authority really started to lose ground. By the time the 80s were around, they were, you know, if stuff could pass, they would let it pass. If it didn't pass, they would put it out anyway without really,
yeah,
you know, whatever.
And I guess that kind of goes back to the thinking that I had, is that the Comics Code was not really any sort of rating system. It was kind of like, it's kind of like they're trying to be everybody's supervisor, trying to say, all right, this is passable and this isn't, instead of there being any sort of real rating system about any of it. I mean, what was the definition of what they thought could pass? I mean, the Spider-Man,
exactly, yeah.
The Spider-Man drug issue thing was really pretty harmless. They just didn't like the fact that there was drug use and that sort of paraphernalia and that sort of.
Well, didn't the Green Arrow deal with some of that kind of stuff?
Yeah, it was interesting because as times changed, you know, like a lot of the Comics Code Authority stuff changed. I mean, there was drug use started to become okay, and that stuff started to get passed or whatever. And then, you know, they've had to change views about like homosexuality, you know what I mean? And had to like, you know, revise that stuff to let that be Comics Code approved, you know? Because. You know,
I think the really Comics Code was kind of like the principal telling you what music you could play at the high school dance.
It's really just...
Man, that always sucked.
You know, BS is what the Comics Code Authority is. It's a bunch of people that just don't know anything about comics.
Is it still around?
Giving their opinion. It is still around. It is still around. And I guess...
But you see it very infrequently nowadays.
Right. Yeah, I think the only, you know, between Marvel and DC, the only stuff that's getting Comics Code approved is the DC younger general... Johnny DC, I believe, is what it is.
They're young called. Viewers.
Right, yeah, line, all that basically. Stuff is Comics Code approved. But that's really it. You know, other than that, they sort of have their own sort of responsibility and standards and stuff, or at least Marvel does. So at this point, you know, when we're looking at you know, the one place that sort of kept an eye out for comics, you know, whether or not they did a good job is open for debate. They didn't, by the way. But the fact of the matter is, who's watching, you know, who's watching these people? So comics have to do this, and we all have to do our part, I suppose. You know, it then becomes a question of, you know, what are the responsibilities of the publisher? What are the responsibilities of the retailer? And what are the responsibilities of the people buying? You know, what are our responsibilities as the consumers?
Right.
You
know?
What are we worried about? I guess it's kids. I mean, that's what it was put in place for, right?
I don't even know if it's just a kid issue. I guess the easiest reference you can make is look at movies. The movies have ratings for certain type of content, right. And you can even get an explanation of any movie you're interested in doing
strong,
a check on.
Violence.
You can tell why it has that rating, not just that it has that rating.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are people that, I mean, you can't always tell it. You can't judge a book by its cover. So you might not necessarily know that, all right, this book has extreme violence in it, and I don't want my child to be exposed to that, my teenager, or maybe even I'm someone that just doesn't want that violence. Or, you know, everybody's favorite mode of censorship, anything sexual.
Well, let me ask something. What do you think is the responsibility of the publisher? Do you think that they should rate their own stuff? Do you think that stuff
I think
should,
so.
Yeah. That you think that each...
I think there should be a standard.
They all have to follow, or do you think each individual... I mean, we're talking about like
a standard as in like...
To like check comics.
No, like all movies have a PG-13 rated R.
That's essentially what the Comics Code Authority. It's like this outside body that you submit
stuff
to.
No, a standard in what
you know what they think is okay.
No, a standard in what like what PG stands for.
I mean,
if they were to like Marvel's got their own little rating system now, and
we had to go on the website to figure out what it meant.
Go onto the website to figure out what A stands for or T+, and T+ is 9 and up.
Which
it'd just be nice if there was just a standard so that when you're looking at books, whether it's published by DC, an independent publisher, Marvel, and someone has a T+, or if they just have like 13+, which would really make more sense.
Marvel's not going far enough because the ratings are kind of...
I don't think it's Marvel. I just think it's the industry. Just a standard so that when I'm looking at, no matter who publishes the book, if I've got three different publishers and they all have the same rating system...
You're still talking about, you know.
I think we may be too far gone.
I'm not talking about censoring their content.
No, just but I'm saying a way to rate it. Like you would essentially be asking, you know, Marvel and DC Comics to, you know, come to some sort of agreement on like ratings, and it just doesn't seem like that's something either of them would at all be interested in, unless it was from like an outside party, which again is exactly what the Comics Code Authority was.
I think we're too far gone at this point with all of the companies that do comics and Marvel and even the big two companies constantly at war with each other to have a universal system anymore. I don't think they'll be able to get together on like that. But what I do agree with is, you know, DC doesn't have anything, and that needs to be fixed.
Yeah.
Marvel, I think so, yeah. We can handle that time. We can do that next.
Marvel
has a rating, and I commend them on that, but it's kind of vague about what the ratings mean. If you look at video games and you look at movies.
And even TV shows.
And even TV shows, their ratings, they're pretty clear as to what they mean, either for age or for the type of subject matter that that rating gets. So what I would like to see as a consumer, and someone who buys comics for more people than just me, is a rating system for any comic. It doesn't have to be universal, but just have it be clear that this rating is for teenagers, this rating is for adults only, that sort of thing.
Do you guys think the companies are being like specifically ambiguous about these ratings? Because
I think Marvel
essentially
is.
The material that they're dealing with is geared towards kids, you know. It's geared, well, not geared towards kids, but it's geared towards, you know, adolescent male power fantasies. I can't say it enough times, you know, that like to break down comic books or superheroes as far as what they have been. That's what they are. I don't think that's what they are, what they're capable of, what I like about them.
I think they're ambiguous on purpose because they don't want, and you know, I can understand they don't want to be censored. They don't want to censor themselves and they don't want to have someone else censor them. And I can understand that. I'm not going to champion anybody being censored. But I think they do it on purpose because there's issues that are clarified as having the same sort of content that aren't the same sort of content. So, yeah, I think they do it on purpose.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I mentioned the, what was it, the T plus, and Marvel says that's 9 and up. I thought T stood for teen.
Yeah, teenager.
And 9-year-olds aren't teenagers.
And a 9-year-old is a vet. Even in today's society, a 9-year-old's grasp of things is vastly different than a 13-year-old.
Yeah. I could almost see a 12-year-old, maybe an 11-year-old being grouped in with, you know, teenagers, young, I don't know.
But there's something, you think there's any responsibility from the artists? Do you think that they need to like be like, oh, our stuff is, you know.
No, I don't.
Falls on the editor.
In the writers and the artists, when doing a comic, I mean, obviously they're contracted to do a job and have some sort of understanding going in that this is a storyline we discuss, we expect you to cover that, blah, 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 blah. But I don't feel they need to censor themselves in any way, shape, or form when they do their creative process. It's the editor and his bosses as you go up the food chain that are to decide, all right, we can't have this in, you need to change this, or that's great, but we need to slap a more mature warning on it. You know, I think that's editorial and commercial process. I think the writers and artists should do whatever they want to do. And then from there, it's out of their hands.
So you're saying that you think that, not to put words into your mouth or anything, but I guess I'm asking, are you saying that that pretty much anything could be published by Marvel or DC as long as it has a rating on it?
Yeah, why not? I mean, Universal, when Universal does movies, they'll do NC-17 movies. I don't see why you can't have an NC-17 comic.
So what, then we get into like retailers and their responsibilities with comics?
You know, as someone that sells comics, you know, I mean, I would like to know what my responsibilities are, you know, legally. Do I have any morally? I mean, I'll give you an example. A mother came in here with her son, and I would say the son was around 7 years old, and obviously the kid didn't read comics at all, just sort of wandering around, like picking stuff out.
Okay.
And he goes and he picks up a zombie comic, you know, from like the independent stuff, and he brings it up and he puts it on, you know, he's like, this is the one I want, you know, and it's just like, you know, the cover is like, you know, zombies getting eaten by brains, you know, whatever. It's just gross stuff. This, do I say something to this lady? I say nothing. I say nothing. I speak nothing. I go to ring this up. I'm like, F it. You know what I mean? The mother's right here. She's got a problem with it. She can say something. Yeah. I go to ring it up. She grabs and she's like, wait a second. She looks at it and she's like, no, John. She looks at it and she goes, this is the second issue. You need to get the first one. So he walks over there and he grabs the first issue, comes back and she buys them both issues with this like crazy messed up zombie comic. Now there's no rating on that, you know what I mean? But like, I mean, there's, you know, zombie comics that are out there. Too many zombie comics, by the way, which would be a topic by itself, is like, you know, independent comics, zombie comics is just really getting annoying. But, you know, the point is there's no rating on that comic. Do I have any responsibility to mention anything to this parent? Do I have anything to, should I say anything about this parent? Could I get in trouble for some of this comic?
I think the companies are putting the retailers in a precarious position. Because there will be things that you will know will have certain content, and it's up to your own basic morality for you to decide, do I want the sale or do I want to say something to this parent?
The
sale.
The way I see it is this.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I see it, if a parent sends their kid or allows their kid to go to a comic store by themselves and buy a comic, then they're giving the okay to sell that comic to that kid. If they're in the store and a kid buys a comic and a kid has the comic in hand and the parent's right there, and the parent doesn't flip through it, and the parent rings it up and sells it, that's their responsibility. That is not the merchant's responsibility.
I mean,
the merchant's
job is to sell stuff.
Do you feel
that? Like, do you think that?
It is my opinion.
Do you feel the same way about a movie or a CD or a video game?
No.
I'm saying it's your opinion. Do you know whether or not there are actually any like legal ramifications for that, because I remember there was a comic book that was published in the early 90s, and it was called Verotica, and it was published, it was actually written by Glenn Danzig of the Misfits.
Really?
Yeah, it was
Mother.
And you know,
tell your I'm not going to go into the
specifics of the story. But let me just say that, you know, being someone who, like, doesn't get shocked very easily, this was an insanely crazy story. And, you know, it was really messed up. The ending of it.
I remember you telling me about this. Very graphic.
Yes, very graphic. Pretty sick. And
violent?
And,
or
yeah.
Sexually?
Yes.
All of the above.
Oh, yeah.
Violent, okay.
Yes.
Sexual content.
Yes. Just disturbing on all counts, you know? And a retailer in, I believe it was Arizona, don't quote me on that, got into a lot of trouble for selling this comic to a kid. There was no, you know, age appropriateness. This is the 90s. You know, this isn't, no one was really submitting stuff to the comic book code anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And there was no ratings on this, and he got in a lot of trouble for this. As a matter of fact, there was an independent comic book artist who was just making, like, fanzines, like, for himself that
I remember hearing something about that.
Arrested in Florida, right. And had to, you know, part of his sentencing was that he couldn't draw comics for like a year or something like that in the town that he lived in, you know? I mean, this is just, that's crazy. Like, do we have, you know, where are the responsibilities here? Like, this guy can't publish this stuff?
Well, I mean, I have a question to Adam before I get my thoughts about that.
Certainly.
You mentioned the selling comics to a minor or right. whatever. Right. Do you have that exact same opinion if retailers are selling DVDs or video games or music that have ratings on them?
Right. I was going to say this. And with DVDs, video games, and movies, for the most part, again, you can go into a store and a parental advisory is simply an advisory. That's all it is. It doesn't prevent the retailer from selling the CD. It's an advisory. And that's it. It doesn't prevent that.
Well, that's now, all they have on music.
Right.
They don't rate the music.
Right. Well, that's, I mean, different thing.
But video games are rated.
Video games are rated.
Also, the movie industry is generally non-genre. I'm sorry. It's just less genre-specific, whereas with comic books, you know, I know I've said this before, but superheroes, you know, and it's going to attract kids. I mean, they're all wearing bright costumes, you know, as far as, like, the actual content goes. It's just a little different to compare those two because it's so genre specific when we're talking about mainstream comics.
I was going to bring this up. Basically, if you're a minor, you can't buy a Playboy. You have to be 18 to buy a Playboy and stuff like that. And essentially, some of these comics are on that level.
Sure.
So I think if the industry has a set, hey, you have to be this to buy this, then you follow it. But if they don't, then it's the responsibility of those in charge of those kids, not the merchants.
You think the retailer should have gotten in trouble for selling the kid Glenn Danzig comics?
I do not. Not if there was any, unless there was something specifically that said that the retailer couldn't.
No.
I don't think they should be.
I think my point was going to be before we got on that was...
A big free speech buff, though, unfortunately.
Yeah. When you asked if I thought the retailers had any sort of responsibility, I think that the publishers... I think the publishers leave the retailers out to dry. They leave you hanging out to dry. Did you take responsibility? You make those judgments because they don't put proper ratings on things.
Right.
If they have proper ratings and you choose to ignore them, then that's going to be your problem.
It's also
when they don't have ratings on anything. I mean, if a comic book store gets 50 issues every week before that stuff goes on the shelf, is somebody at that store going to read 50 issues to put it in a rating section
on Wednesday morning?
You know, you got when it comes to censorship and things like that. It's not the publishers again. You look to the FCC. They're the ones in charge of that stuff. Are the FCC going to come up with a system? Because if they're not, then no one's going to. The publishers aren't going to come with that system. They want to sell stuff. They want to sell stuff.
Yeah, but I don't understand how putting a rating system helps them not sell stuff. I don't understand if DC Comics had a rating system on their comics, how is it going to hurt them selling stuff?
It depends on how it's enforced.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you've got your writer, and he's writing a story, and there's somebody that's going to censor and say, hey, you can't do that. You need to rewrite it.
Well, they're not saying you can't do it. They're saying we're going to put a different rating on it.
Yeah, which in turn, like movies, some movies, when they're made and they make a movie and they say, there's no way you're going to get a rated PG or whatever, then they have to cut that movie and make it suck.
Unlike CDs, it's not a matter of like being an advisory. You know what I mean? Like you can't get into a movie if you're 17 or under. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's just like a law, isn't it?
And that's how it's going to limit things. And if there was an enforced rating system in comics, It would limit it, just like general audience is limited.
I think movies and comics in that comparison is a really bad comparison, because you're talking about millions of people going to see a movie depending on the rating, and the comic book difference would be a lot less.
Who goes to movies depending on rating?
Well, when movies are made,
he's saying that a PG
to avoid R.
That a PG rating would be different than an R rating as far as viewers.
It is.
But look at the Matrix. It's rated R.
Look at publishers,
and it like made millions. I mean, usually a movie that makes millions of dollars, like hundreds of millions of dollars, is usually a PG.
How many rated R movies have?
Not many, but they're usually PG. Right. PG rated movies.
PG-13.
Maybe PG-13, but they're usually geared towards kids, because kids can only go to the movies if their parents take them.
What, Joe?
Look at the South Park movie. They sat Matt Stone and Trey Parker down and told them how much more millions of dollars they would have made if they made it PG-13 instead of R. But they were just like, we still want it to be R. We don't care. Hell, I was under 18. I had to get someone else to buy me tickets to see it. And the movie's about doing that. I mean, yeah. You know, I mean. True.
It's also one of the greatest movies of all time.
And you know what? Well,
that's a good way.
Definitely. And the thing is, with comics, yeah, it's not on a grand scale, but as the weeks add up, it equals the same thing.
So they should just do whatever they can just to make a buck and screw any other thinking
about it?
I'm
not saying they should do whatever they can to make a buck. I'm saying, and we all have a responsibility. It's just, what are we willing to take?
And what if
unless it's enforced.
What is your responsibility? What is our responsibility as a reader?
As a reader?
Yeah.
To ourselves?
Let me ask you this. Right. I guess, you know, in a lot of this stuff, you know, when I'm thinking about it in terms of like parents and what they buy for their kids, because I'm an adult and I want to read adult things. So as far as like ratings go, I'm not affected. I mean,
you're going to read whatever you feel like reading.
Exactly. You know, which is the beauty of being, you know, over 18. But what is your responsibility as a parent, Chris, being the only parent in shouting distance? What is your responsibility?
Well, I mean, I have to look out for what I'm going to expose my daughter to. She's 2.5. And yeah.
You're going to let her make her own decisions? I mean, if she wanted to read Runaways at eight years old, even though it's T+, would you let her?
I would have to read it first. You know, I'd have to like buy it, read it, and if I think it's appropriate for her,
yeah, see this,
I would let her read it.
I
but
agree that
I would have to. I have to censor that stuff.
I think you're a good parent.
I think that's really the issue here. Best to be a good parent.
The thing that I'll say about that is I completely agree.
That would be hilarious.
With Adam and Chris' comment that a parent should know what their kid is reading. However, to have no sort of inclination about what that is. If a kid wants to read that comic, the parent's supposed to buy that comic, read it themselves, and then say, okay, you can have it.
You know what? Yeah. It's not always about specifically reading the comic. And this is definitely a big issue, but it's about being involved in what your kids do.
Yeah.
You know, knowing what it is that they're into. Yeah. Not necessarily that specific comic, but just have an idea of what they are reading in general and things like that.
When I was a kid, you know, I mean, I loved reading stuff that was like ridiculously violent. You know what I mean? I loved reading stuff that was like, you know, stuff that would...
You're a white American male.
Let me tell you something. You know, I was maybe 15, 16 when that Danzig comic came out, you know, and I was able to get my hands on it. I'm certainly not the better for it, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not the worst for it.
That's where
it
all started, folks.
You know, if a parent's not into collecting comics, I guess I have the upper hand because I like to read comics.
When I would go to comic stores as a kid, you know, mm-hmm. I would be dropped off.
Yeah. Right.
Here's some money.
I used to walk to the comic store.
You know, I don't want to deal with your crap.
It was too far for me.
Lazy parents of a 13-year-old, you know what I mean? You think they're interested in the same things? You know,
but I mean,
there's a big difference between a 7-year-old, 8-year-old, and like a 15-year-old and like a teenager. There's a big difference
in what you
can do as a parent, even. So I understand where it gets harder when you're dealing with teenagers who kind of tend to roam around on their own.
Well, I think
get dropped
you,
off places, but you don't do that with an 8-year-old.
Yeah,
you know, it's different.
I mean.
Hopefully people
as somebody,
won't do that.
As somebody who doesn't have kids, I mean, I'm in the same boat as Flacco as far as I don't look at a rating on anything. I read something if I want to read it or watch it if I want to watch it. But I do have young relatives and friends' kids that I buy comics for.
Like, don't you said something about going to the movies with somebody.
Yeah.
Some kids, right? Taking some kids to the movies.
My best friend's kid took him to see Fantastic Four.
Right. That's what, yeah.
One of them reads comics, and he's younger than a teenager. Mm-hmm. And his parents aren't really into comics. He'll ask me comic book questions, and I have to be mindful of...
Mm-hmm. Respectful of their...
Yeah. Should I recommend something that he should be reading? But not only right. from my perspective of what should that 9-year-old be reading, but also right. the perspective of his parents. Should I recommend something? Oh, yeah, you should go pick that up. And it's got something, and they're going to, you know, be calling me the next night and say, what the hell did you tell him he could read right. that?
And that's
you
definitely know? A good point that you brought up. And it's the word recommend.
I mean, is that the you consequence know? That, like, somebody's going to get mad at you for, you know, I mean, what are the real consequences? Are there any real consequences?
If it's my best friend and I yeah. gave their kid a comic that was completely inappropriate for his age, that's right. That would be a very big issue in my life. Yeah.
I think also you're going to have issues as a retailer. Telling parents, you might not want your kid to buy this.
Yeah, it's morality. And it gets to be a morality issue.
A lot of people, and not everybody, and sometimes it's a good thing. Well, sometimes it's good to take that chance. But some people are going to think you're judging them.
Saying that I was going to be a morality officer.
That's kind of my point, is that the companies are hanging you out to dry. They're wanting you to make decisions with the zombie comic that has nudity and flesh eating in it and selling it to an 8-year-old instead of stamping something on it for mature content.
All right.
Well, how about DMZ? I'll just bring up my favorite comic I read, DMZ, and there's like a boob shot in the last issue.
Sweet.
And interestingly enough,
you know, and it's right. I mean, they're having sex. It's after they are having sex, and she's just laying there, and the blanket, you know, it's covering one boob, not the other.
Issue number was
not a big deal to me, but I would not want a boob.
It's boob.
But I wouldn't want to. I wouldn't read that comic to my 2.5-year-old, anyways. But if she was 8 or 9, I wouldn't let her read it. I mean, it's about war. Yeah. It's about people getting shot. It's like I wouldn't let her watch a rated R movie. So why would I let her read a book that has some of that same content?
For me, an even bigger issue in comic is not necessarily the scantily clad costumes or the occasional nudity or close to it, but the incredible amount of violence, you know, which as Americans, we don't care about violence. Everything should get blown up as largely as possible and die as bloody as possible. But look at all the violence in some, like Midnighter.
Yeah.
Take that for example. That's a very violent comic.
He kicks a guy's head off.
What was it?
And that'd while it was great for me, I wouldn't give that to an 8 or 9
if I was
nephew.
11, do you know how much Midnighter would easily be my favorite comic book in the world, by the way?
And, you know, that desensitizes
kids. I mean, when I was
11,
my favorite comic book was Wolverine.
Yeah, dude.
But he was violent.
But back then, Wolverine wasn't nearly as violent as he is now.
No, but he was still violent.
Yeah. He was violent. So was Punisher.
In the time
Punisher War Journal with Jim Lee.
You mentioned about DMZ. Yeah. You know, here's another boring retailer story. But there was a kid that came in here, right? And he was, to guess the kid's age, I would probably say around 9 or 10. You know, hopefully, you know, he's not listening and pissed off. But he came in here and he brought up an issue of DMZ. So, you know, sometimes when I see kids I don't recognize and they, you know, kind of walking around the store or whatever, they'll pick up a book and they'll bring it up. Generally, they'll just grab something off the shelf and buy it and take it home or whatever and have no sort of context of where it is inside a story or whatever. Just whatever. You know, I used to do it all the time when I was a kid, too.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, so he brings up the copies of DMZ and I saw it and I was just thinking to myself, man, if this kid doesn't get to the comic book store very often and he buys this comic, you know, and, you know, he wants to go home and, you know, read awesomeness about superheroes and, you know, all this crazy stuff going on. I was like, he's going to be sorely disappointed when he goes home and he's going to read this issue, like random issue of DMZ, not to mention the fact that it's a Vertigo comic.
Yeah.
So I said to the kid, I was just like, and I tried to not be, you know, a know-it-all dick about it, you know,
right.
I was just like, do you know what you're doing, kid? You know what I mean? I was like, so have you been reading this, you know? And he was like, yeah, it's really good. I really like it a lot. And I was like, you've been reading it since the beginning? Because it was the first issue of a new story arc. And it was like...
But issue 6, I think.
106.
I think you told me this before.
Yeah, exactly. And I was just like, yeah. He's like, yeah, you know, I read the first story arc and it was pretty good. I'm going to stick around with it for a little while and check it out and make sure. And I was just like, damn, kid.
Smart
you know,
kid.
DMZ, you know? The same kid comes back and buys like the second issue of The Other Side, which is another Vertigo comic about Vietnam.
You're all about adopting, weren't you?
And he bought, and I was just like, what do you think of this book? And he's like, you know, well, I'm going to give it a couple more issues and see what I think of this book. But here's this 9-year-old kid who's got to be smart if he's reading DMZ and, you know, books about.
Or just mature in his, what he likes to read about.
Absolutely.
And learn about.
I mean, here's a Vertigo comic, which is a line that's specifically geared toward adults. Now, look, man, this kid, this is the kind of kid you want reading comics. You know,
sure.
This is the kind of kid you want to keep around. You know, am I going to be like, no, there's a titty in that. Put that, you know, let me say, I need your mom to be here. You know, F that, man. This kid is why we're making comics. You know, this people that can appreciate good stuff like that. You know, I personally think that I love to see kids like this kid, you know, who's just wants to read really good stuff, you know, and he's not limited by, you know, genres or fucking rating systems or anything like that. Kids like that get me excited about comics. And if he's listening, we like you here, kid. Come back. Buy more stuff.
I think
your annoying little sister too.
I think though that if the parents are involved, then he can get that reading material without it having to be here by this under the table type things. If comics did have rating system,
I think ultimately it's the parents' responsibility.
I mean, yeah,
to know what the kids are watching on TV, what they're listening to, and what they're reading. I mean, you're going to get to a point where you're not going to know this stuff, and you're going to have to deal with it.
In the mass market society, though, you wouldn't say the same thing about anything else that had a rating. You would say that it's parents' responsibility, and I agree, mm-hmm. but you wouldn't say it was their responsibility alone, because you don't expect the parents to watch every television show, every movie that could possibly come out. You don't expect them to do the same thing with comics.
No.
I think the publishers need to bear some of that burden, just like the movie companies do, the TV networks and everybody else.
And we don't want to forget kids are their own people. I mean, they're on, you know.
The hell they are.
That's your opinion.
Yeah, that's just your opinion. Hey,
you raise a 2.5-year-old, they're their own people.
No, thank you.
I have a whole theory on babies sucking souls, but we'll
say that. Obviously, this podcast offers no solutions. So what are some good all-ages comics that are being published today?
Power Pack.
Yeah, Chris is a big fan of the Power Pack. Yeah. I was a big fan of the Power Pack when I was a kid, too. You know,
it's just well-written.
It's about a family of superheroes.
These four kids. Their last name's Power. Dad's an engineer, scientist, or something. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hokey, but it goes back to, like, kind of has an old-school comic booky feel to it.
I think you said that you thought it would be a great cartoon.
It would. It just has, I don't know, they always have like a cameo, or they always feature a superhero in the Marvel Universe, and it's these kids that want to be superheroes.
Better than featured one of the band members from Cameo.
Yeah, it's just a well-written comic. It's fun, and that's what I like about it. It's just something fun to read. The kids are all very different and fleshed out.
Anybody ever read Jeff Smith's Bone?
I've not read it. Bone
isn't published anymore, but it was published by Image Comics, and it was a great comic, just beautifully drawn and written by Jeff Smith, and it was about this little character by the name of Bone, who's from Boneville. With, you know,
is all of Bone age appropriate?
Bony, yeah, and absolutely,
for kids?
Dude, absolutely.
I haven't read
Bone
enough of it,
from
no.
beginning to end. Is
and Barnes and Noble has a great thick. I mean, it's like thicker than the Bible.
It's really
graphic novel.
One of the most amazing things about Bone is how it's great for. On every level, you know what I mean? Like, if you're a grown-up reading Bone, it's fantastic. If you're a kid reading Bone, I was never a kid, but, you know, I can imagine that there's tons of stuff in that book. For boys and girls, it's really not superhero-y in any way, shape, or form. It's a little bit more fantastical. Have you guys ever read any of James Robinson's Leave It to Chance?
No, I haven't.
It was published by Homage Comics, and it was about a little girl whose father was, like, the sorcerer. There was a town, and the town is sort of based on magic. And this little girl whose father is a head sorcerer, and he's supposed to be training his son to become the new sorcerer, but he had a daughter instead, and she can't be the new sorcerer because she's a girl. Well, she sort of takes it upon her own hands to sort of, you know, prove that she's worthy of it. So she has all these adventures and stuff by herself, and it's drawn by Paul Smith, who along with Dave Cochran and John Smith and John Byrne did a bunch of stuff on the original X-Men stuff.
I have a question.
Yeah, Leave Chance is a great book.
For Adam.
Yes.
Star Wars. I mean, you know, the original movies were kind of geared towards 10-year-old boys, children. Are the comics appropriate for kids?
Well, they're not. They're not like Punisher. People die in them, but I don't think you see people dying. And there's just so many different, like half of Dark Horse comics that come out are Star Wars comics. So there's all sorts of different writers and stuff like that. So none of them are like watching Jedi, you know, with Ewoks and stuff. They're more
Damn
like
it.
Empire. They're okay. more on the Empire base.
Maybe like
of the 12, of the Star Wars scale, they're Empire.
Okay.
Of violence.
The thing is, I mean, kids have to be old enough to read, right?
You okay?
Ideally, to enjoy the book.
My daughter can't read it, so I have to read it to her. But
I mean, obviously,
to the store
once
to buy something, they can read it.
Yeah.
It's not like you send a 6-year-old in by themselves.
I do.
Have you seen a 6-year-old come in?
Maybe if you're a good parent.
No.
I also said my 6-year-old to Bobby Bear.
In the classics, just read The Adventures of Tintin, which is a European comic about a little boy who sort of gets weird Hardy Boys-esque adventures. That book has got mad critical acclaim for a long time. Usagi Yojimbo by Stan Sakai.
I've met him.
Is that the bunny?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
It's a great book. It's also
I call it the bunny because I can't pronounce the name.
It's also used in college courses studying the art of comics because it's considered so well and also is age appropriate. It's about a rabbit samurai. If you know him from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles mythology, he's not really a part of that. He just sort of, they were doing Stan Sakai a favor by like letting him be licensed along with those characters. But Usagi Yojimbo is essentially a samurai back in the samurai days of Japan. Everything is anthropomorphic, so there's all different kinds of animals. But the book takes itself very seriously. It's never lighthearted in tone, but it's always manages to be appropriate and action, you know, the action stuff, you know, dangerous.
Artwork's great.
Yeah, the art is great, and it's a great book.
He's a nice guy, too.
Yeah, I take your word for it. Also, Disney's putting out a Haunted Mansion comic, which is selling like hotcakes. I don't know anything about it, really. It's Disney, so I can't. I think, actually, Jonan Vasquez and or Roman Dirge, two guys that worked on the Invader Zim comic, are working on it, which is a little surprising because generally they're slightly more adult-oriented.
Yeah, I hadn't heard anything about that.
Johnny the Homicidal Maniac and Lenore and stuff like Squee, yeah, all that stuff. Yeah, I mean, I hope those suggestions help out a little bit if anyone's looking for some age-appropriate material.
And hopefully the big companies will continue to try to put stuff out like that.
And
we need new readers as much as we need old readers.
Right, yeah, old readers, yeah. I mean, is that really the issue here that people are...
I think that's
comic book fans are... As the base of comic book fans are getting older and less new kids are coming in, I mean, it seems like they're reaching out to us. You know, stuff like Civil War is very, you know...
Right.
Adult.
Yeah, that's not a comic for an 8-year-old.
Right, exactly.
I think that's where the publishers really need to pay attention to what they're putting out, because if it gets too top-heavy...
Well, I'd rather them pay attention to what I want to read than what a little kid wants to read. No offense, little kids.
Well, as a retailer, though, we need to cultivate the reading base as much as we can. I mean, I guess the example I gave earlier was if a kid reads a comic, say Chris is reading his daughter a comic at her age now, and then when she's, say, from age 8 to 14, there's nothing you can give her to read. And then all of a sudden, 6 years later, here's some stuff you can read. Is she going to have any interest in comics again? You know, there needs to be...
Probably not.
You know, if comics want to be as big a medium as we all want it to be, you know, there's movies and televisions and music for all ages. There needs to be comics for
all
ages. If not
as big, just continue.
I don't need everybody to like comics.
Just as long as it continues to have this, like, the reader base.
I consider myself a reader before I consider myself a retailer. And that's just the way it is, dog. Read to die.
I've got questions. You've got answers. This is rapid fire. No huddle.
Bitch.
Just kind of the follow-up on our big discussion that we just had. I have a few questions. Some of them have nothing to do with the discussion, but usually I try to feed off of the discussion. When I write these questions, they're usually quick, short-answer questions. Some of them are 30 seconds. With this, I usually go two at a time, but I think last time I just kind of threw questions out there, and we just did a quick discussion on them. I like that a little bit, so I'm going to give that a try again.
Sweet.
First question, I like the... We talked about this earlier. Hopefully we can keep this short. I don't want to talk about it too long, but the question really is, why do you read? Is it because of the media, comic books, or is it because of superheroes and tights?
Is it the genre or the medium? Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
It's the medium for me. If superhero comics disappeared tomorrow, I would still love comics.
I would like to say that it was the format of comics, but when I look at my collection, 95% or more of them are superheroes. So I honestly don't know.
I'm kind of in the same boat with Brian.
I think that...
So you guys wish you were me? I always suspected.
Good God, no.
If you look at my collection, most of it's superheroes. And I think if superhero comics went away, I would still have a collection. There'd just be fewer of them because there'd be fewer stories.
Yeah, I mean, I like to think that I would probably still pick stuff up, but it would be a lot less.
Well, just a way to tell a story, y'all. So, just a way to tell a story.
I agree. Sometimes better than movies can do it. What's the dirtiest comic you own?
What's the dirtiest comic?
This is a Brian. This is a Brian question. What's the dirtiest comic you own?
Most graphic.
The most
violent or
nudity,
either
anything.
For me, what comic would you not let a kid read at all?
A lot of them, unfortunately.
Do you know I there's a book called Ramba, which was insane. You ever heard of it? It's like a Spanish book that's just like about this crazy, like, Rambo-esque chick that just like has sex with like every dude she comes across all the time. It's really funny.
You got her number?
That
was a comic.
I'll let you borrow them, but Ramba's insane. Also, Penthouse comics. Penthouse put out comics in like the late 90s, and they were amazingly good, dude. Some of the creators that worked on these Penthouse comics were like Alan Davis, Jason Pearson.
Yeah, they had named people doing.
What the hell is the name of this? Soy Dom, so the guy that does a bunch of awesome stuff for like heavy metal and stuff. They just had great creators on that stuff, and they're all like graphic. Like the, you know,
the side question you asked Adam, what comics did I have that I wouldn't let kids read?
Yeah,
that, I mean, that's a lot of them.
Well, I was going to basically say what I have is probably the worst stuff I have is the Punisher, Max.
I'm kind of like Punisher, Wolverine, maybe Ghost Rider from the 90s.
About the only thing I have out there is
because it's like a flaming skull nothing. That makes a deal with the
Chris
devil.
Chris has nothing.
I went through my old comics, I had a Camp Candy comic.
Inappropriate. What's
that? Remember John Candy had that cartoon, Camp Candy?
Yikes. There's an artist named Kevin J. Taylor that a friend of mine gave me two of his graphic novels because he really liked the artwork, but that's about the only dirty comics I guess I have.
Do you find the Civil War comics child appropriate, I guess? Oh. What's the rating on those?
They might be child appropriate as far as can they read them? Would they understand them is a completely different
nine
story.
And up. Nine and up. To Marvel.
Are they nine and up? I guess they're up, but...
Up. I don't think a 9-year old is going to read Civil War and get anything out of it.
Get anything out of it?
9 out of 10.
Well,
he'll
get something out of it. I mean, you'll get like jack o' lantern heads exploding, but
yeah, they will. Big gaping hole through the only black superhero in the comic.
Mary Jane.
Dudes.
Heads or tails?
Tails.
Heads.
Capes or guns?
Capes.
What?
For what?
I don't know. Characters. How about
it's
capes
an
with guns?
Question. You're supposed to go with your first thought.
I have no
idea. Guns.
These are ink block questions.
All right. Guns.
Okay, I'll skip.
It's guns.
Do you enjoy reading kids' comics?
Yes.
No.
I haven't ever, no.
Mary Jane Homecoming.
Mouse Gardner's not. I wouldn't classify that as a kid's comic.
That's more girly comic than a kid's comic.
Although, you know what? Let me just say that.
How many conversations we got going on?
Joe brings up a good point as far as like appropriate all ages comics. Mouse Guard is phenomenal.
You think it's a kid's comic? By the way.
I think it certainly is all ages.
Hmm. Awesome. Mouse Guard's awesome.
Thank you for listening. And you can come visit us at Acme Comics at 2757 Rosewood Drive.
And we'll sell you whatever you want.
And what are your thoughts about...
Yeah, that's right. I will sell you anything.
You can leave
no
us
both. Age.
You can leave us messages either in by typing them in or by saying them to us now. So if you have thoughts about this podcast and the things we talked on or just want to call one of us an idiot, feel free to do so.
Yeah, please.
TheAcmeComics.com.
TheAcmeComics.com.
Yes.
Just click around. Any links that you find, you can find links to our other sites or leave us messages and all sorts of stuff. Just dance around the site and see what you can find.
Yeah. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.